I'm supposed to be going to Eretz Yisrael tomorrow night for a week. If I'll be able to talk, I'll go to Eretz Yisrael. If not, I'll be here. Okay. So next week, when I plan to be coming back on Wednesday morning, so next Wednesday night I have a chasana that I have to attend. Next Thursday night is Thanksgiving, so the stomach, most people will not be interested in having it. So on the assumption that I'm going to Eretz Yisrael tomorrow night, I won't be able to give a shiur next week, but the week after I will. Thank you. Okay. Amen. So we left off last week on Yud Zayin on the base. The Gemara was giving details regarding Ksivas Megillah Soita. The Megillah has to be written Davka after she takes the Shvuah. This is quotes the Yerushalmi that it's a Machloikas Amarayim, but the Bavli only quotes that one opinion. The Megillah has to be written after. And Rav Soloveitchik pointed out the way the Rambam quotes it, the Rambam understands the din that he's not writing Psukim from the Chumash. He's writing the text of the Shvuah. She has to say the Shvuah as it appears word for word in the Chumash. When the Kohen writes it, then there's another din. The Kohen has to write it. If a non-Kohen writes the Megillah Saita, it's not kosher. The Mayim will not, the miracle will not work. The Mayim will not be Boidiker. So when the Kohen writes the Megillah Saita, he has to write the Shvuah, not write the Psukim from the Chumash. He writes the Shvuah. Then the Gemara says he has to write everything in the proper order. If you write backwards, it's not kosher. Even though if you look at it, the text is it reads perfectly. That din, we have that din in the Mechilta regarding Tefillin and Mezuzah. The Parshas of Tefillin and Mezuzah have to be written Kisidra. So if the Torah does not require Kisidra, but Megillah Saita does require Ksava L'Mafreya Psula, has to be written in order. Then the Gemara says on the last line, Kosva Yigeres Psula. Why? Igeris is no good. Igeris means a letter. If you write the Megillah Saita like an Igeris is puzzle. So Rashi learns that just like because Basefer HaMachmon, it says, because of HaKoin, it's Ola Sa'ila, Basefer, it has a din like a Sefer Torah. Just like a Sefer Torah needs Sirtut, you have to scratch out on the parchment lines. Then you write Bereshis Barlakim, you write all the lines of the Sefer Torah on these lines that are scratched out. And the Sefer Torah Soto Megillah Soto needs Sirtut on every line. Not all the Rishayim agree with Rashi. The Balei HaTosfos are of the opinion that the Sefer Torah does not need Sirtut. The Gemara says in Megillah, when you write in Megillah Sester, you need Sirtut on every line. Because the Megillah Sester is described as Dibre Shalom Ve'emes. What is Dibre Shalom Ve'emes? Kamito Shal Torah. What is Amito Shal Torah? So Rashi says, like the real McCoy, like a Sefer Torah, just like a Sefer Torah needs Sirtut on every line, so the Megillah Sester also requires Sirtut. And Tosfos denies that. Tosfos says there is no such thing that a Sefer Torah needs Sirtut. So Tosfos says, Amito Shel Torah refers to the Mezuzah. Why is the Mezuzah the real McCoy? Because Zesh Ma'isol Hashem Echad, as Yuchad Hashem, monotheism. That's the main aspect of our religion. There are Yud Gimel Ikari Hu Emunah, but the main thing is that there's one and only one God. No, we assume that Sirtut is a din deraisa, not a din derabbanan. We assume it's halacha l'moshe misina. Tosfos quotes from the Gemara and Menachos the different opinions among the Tanoim, and we paskin like those Tanoim that there's a difference between mezuzah and tefillin. Tefillin do not need Sirtut, and mezuzah does need Sirtut. So that's what Tosfos is bothered with Akasha. What do you mean? What do you mean that a tefillin don't need sirtut? The Gemara says in Gittin, in the first parak, when you write a letter, the Gemara says someone sent a letter to someone else, and he quoted a pasuk in the middle of the letter. When you will quote a pasuk in the middle of the letter, you're supposed to scratch out a line. See if you write on lined paper, so you have a line already. So you write it. If you're writing on clear paper that doesn't have any lines, so the Gemara says, if in the middle of a letter you quote a pasuk, you have to scratch out a line, even though it's not even a Sefer Torah, it's just in the middle of a letter you're quoting a pasuk. Tosfos on the last line of Tosfos, it is gigantic Tosfos, Ksavi Geris Psula, on Yud Zayin Amud Beis. So the last line of Tosfos writes, V'lo yedayna minolon lichta b'perushim psukim v'lo sirtot They don't know what the meaning of Olam is, that people write Perushim on the Gemara. The Balei HaTosis wrote notes from the Shiurim, they write Chidush Torah. In the middle of Chidush Torah, they quote a Pasuk, L'shem Pasuk. What they wrote before was, sometimes you write a letter, and in order to write a fancy style Hebrew, so you'll use a biblical expression. So that, you're not really writing it L'shem quotation from Tanakh, using it as a biblical expression, just L'teferes HaMalitza B'Yalma. So that's what they quote the Rabbein Eliyahu HaTzarfati, that then you don't need Sirtut. You're not writing it L'shem Pasuk. Years ago, used to be a Rebbe in our yeshiva, left yeshiva, Rabbi Braunspiegel. So he married Rabbi Munk's daughter from Paris. So he had never met Rabbi Munk. The daughter was working in New York in the United Nations. She was a translator for the United Nations because she knew French and she knew English. And the father-in-law lived in France. So when Rabbi Braunspiegel was corresponding with his future father-in-law, so they wrote letters and learning back and forth. So the father-in-law once wrote fancy Lashonis, biblical Lashonis, and he didn't write Sirtut. So Rabbi Braunspiegel wrote to him, how come you don't write with Sirtut? So his name was Rabbi Eli Munk, Elio Munk, and he was from France. So he wrote, I follow Rabbi Elio HaTzarfati. He was Rabbi Elio HaTzarfati. He said, I follow Rabbi Elio HaTzarfati. That if you just write it, L'mlitza V'alma, then you don't need Sirtut. But if you write a Shtikal Taisvis, Taisvis writes on the Torah, in the middle of the Taisvis, they quote a Pasuk, not the Teferes HaMalitza, they're quoting it L'shem Pasuk. So he says, Le'yadayna, they don't know what's the kula, what's the heter, don't you need Sirtut? Staka, not right. Whenever you quote a Pasuk, you need Sirtut. So that's Tosis Kasha. How can the Gemara say that Tfilin doesn't need Sirtut? Aloha Moshe Ben Sina, Tfilin doesn't need Sirtut, Mezuzah doesn't need Sirtut. How can it be that Tfilin is less than quoting a Pasuk in a letter? If you quote a pasuk in a letter, the Gemara says you need Sirtut.
The whole pasuk have to, or just any verse in the pasuk?
The Gemara says a machlekes. How many words do you have to quote that it should need Sirtut? The Gemara says two. You can write two words. Ela mishpatim. You can write two words without Sirtut. But if you write three words, then you need Sirtut. Or the other opinion is no, that three you can write without Sirtut, and four need Sirtut. How much is considered a beginning of a quotation? How much do you need that it should be considered beginning of quotation? Three or four. That's a machlokes negitin in the first parak. How many words do you have to quote that it should be considered a schol of a quotation?
It makes no difference what type of writing you're using. Like if you don't use the Sefer Torah writing.
That's one. The Ramban and Gittin has that suggestion. Maybe it's only if you're writing in Ksav Ashuris. If you're writing in script, maybe you don't need Sirtut. That's how the Ramban suggests to defend the Minhag HaOlam. That's its answer. The Tosis Kasha. Tosis blocked by Kasha, so the Ramban and Gittin writes that suggestion as a Teretz. So Tosis has this Kasha. How can it be that the Gemara says that you don't need Sirtut on Tfilin? Tfilin is Psukim L'Torah Psukim. So of course you need Sirtut. So Tosis makes one suggestion over here. Maybe it's Halacha Moshe Messina that Bedavki you don't have Sirtut. Bedavki not. The Rav Soloveitchik said that his grandfather Rav Chaim was machmer for that, because usually when they make tefillin, they do make sirtut in every line, in order that the sefer shouldn't write sloppily. You make sirtut not only because halacha requires, because you want to write straight lines. So Rav Chaim was machpid to be yotzei the sheet of this tesis, middle of this tesis. They give such a suggestion. Maybe it's halacha Moshe Messina that bedavka tefillin you're not allowed to make sirtut. The Pashtus is not so. So that's what Tosfos says. How can it be? But if you quote a Pasuk in the middle of a letter, you need Sirtut. How can it be that Tefillin is less than a letter, a Pasuk in a letter? So the Rabbi Natan gives a suggestion that two dinim of Sirtut. There's one din of Sirtut that you need Sirgul. You need to make a box on the parchment, so you have to scratch out four lines, a rectangular shape, and you should write everything within that rectangle. And then there's a din of sirta that I'll call shita v'shita on every line. So when you write a letter, you don't need sirta on that line. As long as there's a sirtut on the four borders, that's good enough. That'll keep you straight. And mezuzah, the halacha Moshe Messina requires sirta in each and every line. And Megillas Esther has the same din like mezuzah. Divrei Shalom Hayam is kamito shel Torah, like the real thing. The real thing is Shema Yisrael Hashem Echad, the mezuzah. And the Sefer Torah and tefillin is sufficient if it just has the sirgul, the four lines. You don't need on each and every line. That's how the Rabbi Natan suggests.
Did you write another sefer of Nevi'im of Ksuvim?
Yeah, we assume it's the same as Sefer Torah, whatever the din of Sefer Torah is. So according to Rashi, Sefer Torah needs Sirtut on every line. And the Rabbi Natam disagrees. Rashi learns Amitul Shel Torah means Sefer Torah. And the Rabbi Natam says, no, Amitul Shel Torah means Mezuzah, doesn't mean Sefer Torah. The Rishalmi is Beferish like Rashi. The Rishalmi comments on that Pasuk. The Megillah was written, Dibre Shalom Yemes. The Rishalmi also says that Rosha Kamito Shel Torah. So the Rishalmi says that just like the Sefer Torah is Nitan Behidoresh, you can read things in between the lines. The Sefer Torah was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu by Kodesh Baruch Hu, word for word, letter for letter, in such a way that there's more than one level of interpretation. There's Pshuto Shel Mikra, Eda Mikiyotzim De Pshuto, then there are additional levels of interpretation. So the same is true regarding Megillah Esther. Sounds like all the other Sifrei Tanakh, the 24 Sfarim in the Tanakh. So five of the Chamishuchim Shadur, and then you have another 19. So from the other 19, the only one that's Nitan Lehidoresh is Megillah Esther. That's what it sounds like from the Yerushalmi.
If it relates to evil, it would be on the paper and not on parchment. As you said before, that it might be when you use an expression. So
it
would have to be even on paper, on plain paper?
Yeah, they used to write letters on plain paper a lot of times. And still, you need sirtut, that's the pashtus. In the yeshivas, everybody pronounces shirtut. And people claim that that's not correct. They say the correct pronunciation is supposed to be sirtut. In the yeshivas, they insist. Sarit, yeah. Sarit means to scratch. Yeah.
The Bible says that it means
mezuzah.
Mezuzah because the mezuzah says Shema Yisrael.
Yeah.
The
same time says
Shema Yisrael also.
It has so many other things, but the ikur of the mezuzah is Yichud Hashem.
And the ikur of the Sefer Torah is not necessary.
I guess so. I don't know. As I said, so the Achrayim point out, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Ben Tishman, the Kedushas Levi, points out that the Rishalmi says like Rashi. Amitu Shel Torah, the Rabbi Natam says, Dibri Shalom Yem is like Amitu Shel Torah. So Rabbi Natam says, Amitu Shel Torah, Eist Mezuzah. And Rashi says, Amitu Shel Torah, Sefer Torah. So the Yishalmi and Megillah is befavorish like Rashi. Shalmi says that just like Chamishu Chum Shel Torah, Anitnu Lehidoresh, there's more than one level of interpretation. That was the author's intention. The Rabban Shalom, when he dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu, dictated in such a way that it should lend itself to more than one level of interpretation. So to the Megillah Esther is Nitan Lehidoresh. So you see, it doesn't mean Amitri Shel Torah, it doesn't mean Mezuzah. But only the Mezuzah, but Nitan Lehidoresh. The Sefer Torah is Nitan Lehidoresh. Yishalmi translates, uses the same expression as the Bavli, Amitri Shel Torah, the way Rashi understood it. Lemaisa, we do Sirta Tana Sefer Torah in every line, yeah. So Taisvis says that it's not right. Taisvis quotes a Yerushalmi, a famous Yerushalmi. If you take a look in this long Taisvis, take a look on the left margin, it says in brackets, Torch Lias Yitzias HaShabbos. See, towards the end of the Taisvis. That's six lines before the end. So they quote a Yerushalmi, a Masech HaShabbos. Masech HaShabbos has 24 prokin. So they in Taisvis it says, it's in Perek Pamem Adlikin. That's the second Perek. So on the side it says, that's a mistake, not a misprint. That's a mistake. It's not in the second parak. It's in the first parak. Yerushalmi Shabbos parak Yitzias HaShabbos. That's the first parak. Yerushalmi has a line Kol Apotam and Adova V'Yosehu Nikra Hedyot. If you're not mechuyif to do something, you go ahead and you do it, then you're an idiot. An idiot means a poshut. You're a very poshut person. That's a problem. What do you mean? Yerushalmi says the Gemara says that there's a machlekes where the Suma is chai b'mitzvus, asuma is pata mikol ha-mitzvus. There's a Tana Rabbi Yehuda says that asuma is pata mi-boishes. If asuma is mavayish someone else, asuma punches somebody else and he harms him. So whenever someone is chayvel b'chaver has to pay chamisha dvar mipay nezik tzar ripu shevis and boishes. So Rabbi Yehuda learns out from a pasuk that asuma should be yesh, doesn't have to pay boishes. So the Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Peches, has three different versions exactly what did Rabbi Yehuda say. So one version has it, the Rebbe Yehuda says, Asuma is potter from all onshim. Boishes is an oinesh. Malkus is potter from Malkus, potter from Misa, potter from Golus. All of these are onshim. The other version is, Rebbe Yehuda holds Asuma is potter from Nizikin. he doesn't have to pay not only the onish is yosem imashizik. If he breaks someone else's window, he does not pay for that either. And the third version of Rabbi Yehuda is that Rabbi Yehuda patas a summa, we call mitzvah samu is batar. Because it's a pasuk, it's based, everything starts off with the first pasuk. A summa should be ish is patar. So then one Tana says, it only goes on boishes and malchus and misa and golus. Next Tana says, no, it goes on all dini mominus, expands it based on the pasuk. Next Tana says, only such a person is mechayiv in beinodam lamokayim, who is mechayiv in beinodam lachaver. The religion has to begin with beinodam lachaver. If the Torah says for some reason or another that someone is not mechayiv to pay when he damages someone else, if there's no beinodam lachaver, then there's no beinodam lamokayim. The Yiddishkeit has to start from beinodam lachaver. So that's the third version of Rabbi Yehuda. So in Shulchan Aruch, that's the way they quote Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, and they quote him Machlokes HaRishonim in Hilchos Kriyashma. How do we paskin? We paskin Sumas Chai B'chol HaMitzvos against Rabbi Yehuda. Do we paskin Sumas Potem B'chol HaMitzvos like Rabbi Yehuda? Sumas Potem B'chol HaMitzvos. The Ruba, Rova, the Rishonim hold that a Sumas Chai in the Mitzvos. Why should we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda? The Magen Avraham there in Hilchos Kriyashma quotes a minority opinion among the Rishonim who paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, that is sumas patur mikol hamitzvah. So let's say halacha lemaisa. Let's say they asked the grandfather to say kiddush on Friday night, and he's mitzi everybody in the family. Sometimes the grandfather is a suma, so kiddi be mitzi everybody else with kiddush. So we paskin a suma as chayiv b'chol hamitzvah. He's chayiv. See mechui b'dov. He can be mitzi achem and derech avosim. Let's say he'll blow shofar. If a suma will be the balteke, can't be the balkoyre. Have to read from the Sefer Torah. And if someone is, let's say, he's going to blow the shofar, he's going to say kiddush. So can he be mitzi everybody else with kiddush? If he's not mechuyev in the mitzvahs, so it does make sense. He won't be able to be mitzi everybody else. So mikra din we paskin that assume is chai b'chol ha-mitzvahs. So the Gemara there discusses in Baba Kama Daf Peches, Rabbi Yosef was a suma. So Rabbi Yosef says he was debating back and forth. He volunteered to do the mitzvahs anyway, even though he was a suma. So he was just debating, does he deserve more schar than another one who's mitzvah, godl ha-mitzvah v'yoseh, mishayin ha-mitzvah v'yoseh? Or should we assume godl mishayin ha-mitzvah v'yoseh, mishayin ha-mitzvah v'yoseh? Who deserves more reward? So the Rishonim over there asked the question, the Ramban and the Meiri over there have a long discussion. The Gemara says that the one who volunteers, the suma who volunteers to fulfill mitzvahs, even though he's potter, gets reward. The only people they have is whether he gets more reward or less reward from a normal, healthy person who's mechuyev in mitzvahs. Why does he get any reward at all? Why don't we declare a patur manadav v'yaseh nikra hedyot? The Rishami says, you're an idiot. That's what they quote. If you sit in the sukkah when it's raining, nikra hedyot, because you're not mekayim anything. So he asked the kasha, how come by the suma who volunteers mitzvahs, we say that that's commendable? We say he does get reward. And how come over here, if you're going to put sirtut where you don't need it, you're going to sit in sukkah when you're putter, how come over you say nikra hedya? How do you distinguish between the two? So the Rishonim work hard to understand. But bottom line, what they all say is, in effect, if you will volunteer a mitzvah, then you know, let's say a woman volunteers to shake a lulav. The woman all come to women all come to shul, the yitkiya shofar. A lot of women sit in the sukkah also. A lot of women say the bracha when they shake the lulav. Ashkenazi women say bracha when they shake the lulav. So we assume that they're getting reward. We assume that they have a kiyum mitzvah. So that's what the bottom line is. Whenever you put them in a dover, and if you volunteer it, you'll have a kiyum mitzvah. So then you should volunteer. Whenever you volunteer it, you won't have a kiyum mitzvah. You sit in sukkah when it's raining. So you're not yotzei the mitzvah. So then you nick your head. So when do you say there is a kiyum mitzvah? When do you say there's no kiyum mitzvah? That doesn't explain what the answer is. That's just an abstract. So that's what the Rishonim work on. They work on that. So Tosfos has a suggestion over here. If you say that tefillin, the Gemara paskins halacha, like there are different opinions in the Tanoim. So we assume halacha that tefillin do not need sirtut on every line, and mezuzah needs sirtut on every line. So the Gemara discusses there at. We don't just divide everything between Kodesh and Chol. We say, whatever is Kodesh, the different Madregas, the Sefer Torah, has the highest level of Kedusha, because it has so many Parshias. The Tefillin have only four Parshias, So they have less kedusha than a sefer Torah. The mezuzah only has Shema v'Hayom Shamaya. The tefillin have, in addition to Shema v'Hayom Shamaya, has also Kadesh v'Yoki v'Yacho. So the tefillin have more kedusha than the mezuzah, and the tefillin shel Rosh have more kedusha than the tefillin shel Yad, because it has an extra shin or two shins on the Bayu shel Rosh. According to how much divrei Torah you have, that's how much kedusha you have. So the Gemara quotes a brisa. Let's say you have an old pair of tefillin, which it became puzzle, part of it, some of the letters were rubbed out, whatever, you can't use it any longer. As tefillin, are you allowed to, let's say, Shema Yom Shamaya were not damaged, Kadesh Kiviyacha were damaged, the Shema Yom Shamaya are intact. So the Gemara says you're not allowed to take the parshias from the tefillin and convert it into a mezuzah, because Malam HaKodesh v'lo Maridin. It's better to put it in Shemus. One could argue the point, what do you mean Maridin? You put it in Shemus, you don't use it for anything. You've got to use it as a mezuzah chach, you're using it for something. So the Gemara says not so. The Gemara says you have to put the tefillin in Shemus. If you're going to use the two parshios, Shema v'Yom Shema, for the mezuzah, that's a violation of Malam HaKodesh v'lo Maridin. So the Gemara effect HaKasha, what do you have to come on to this explanation? A brisa says like that. What does the brisa have to say? Malam HaKodesh v'lo Maridin. Why don't you say you can't use tefillin for mezuzah? Mezuzah needs sirtot on every line, and the tefillin halachah Moshe Messina says that it doesn't need sirtot on every line. So of course you can't use it. That's the Gemara's kasha. So the Gemara says it goes like the other Tanu holds that you do need sirtot both on tefillin and on mezuzah. That's how the Gemara answers. But the way we pass on halacha that tefillin don't need sirtot, mezuzah does need sirtut, so you don't even have to come on to this reasoning of Malam HaKodesh V'lo Maridin. Simply, you cannot convert the tefillin into mezuzah because the tefillin didn't have any sirtut. So Tosfos frekt HaKasha, why didn't the tefillin have any sirtut? Let the Gemara answer, Hachem Ma'askinan, that they did put sirtut. There was sirtut. So that's what they says, no, that's stupid. That doesn't make any sense. He's an idiot. Hapatman Adav Aviyasin, Nikra Hedir, Yerushalmi says, you're an idiot. You're an idiot. If you do sirtut when it's not necessary, that's foolish. You gain nothing. Yeah, but then Taisa says, unless the Sefer is afraid he's going to write sloppy, then he wants liyasher as aksiba, he wants to write neatly, so then he may do sirtut. So why didn't the Gemara answer? We're talking about a case where the Sefer did sirtut on the tefillin because he wanted to make sure that he writes it straight. Yeah. Yeah, Zekel Aviyah, to write straight lines. Yeah.
What about writing three words without
the sirtut? Tefillin is also... Right, that was Tosis Kasha. So Rabbi Natam said, the Teretz says that tefillin only needs sirtut, sirgul on the four sides, and mezuzah needs sirtut on every line. That's how the Rabbi Natam answered. And then the other answer in Tosis was, kach nemar halacha, that tefillin you're not supposed to do sirtut. You bedavka not supposed to do sirtut.
I think
the Rambam always quotes. The whole Rambam is all quotation, either quotation from the Mishnah or the Gemara or Chumash. He's always quoting from the Tshuvas Hagoyim. He's always quoting. Once in a long while, less than 100 places, the Rambam writes Yeroi Li, when he writes something originally. I think it's 98 places or something like that. They added it up by the computer. So the Rambam writes, and sometimes he writes Yeroi Li, it's such an obvious din. The Rabbi asks, why is it Yeroi Li? It's an often a Gemara. So the Rambam wrote Yeroi Li because that's his interpretation of the Gemara. He could interpret differently. So the Rambam quotes from the Tshuvas Hagoyim that explanation. Why is it? The Gemara doesn't give any explanation. The Rambam writes, why is it that tefillin do not need sirtut and mezuzah does? He writes that tefillin don't need sirtut on every line because mamnei sheheim mechufim. Because you cover it up and you sew it up in a box and nobody ever reads it. As opposed to mezuzah, does need sirtut. So what do you mean mezuzah is also rolled up? You don't see the mezuzah. So some of the people today have a mezuzah. They have. The Gemara says you have to roll the mezuzah and you roll the klapi shema. The first thing when you unroll should be shema. You shouldn't roll it the other way and have the left side of the mezuzah at the end. You should roll it. You should roll it this way and have Shema at the end. So the Gemara tells you how to roll the mezuzah. What if you didn't roll the mezuzah? What if you hang up the mezuzah on the wall and the whole parsha is invisible? You can read the whole thing. So one of the Rabbonim wrote, he thinks it is a violation of the minik. The minik from the days of the Tanoim is you have to roll it up. Rav Soloveitchik thought that you're not Yotze. He didn't think it's time a violation of the minik. The Gemara says that the mezuzah has to be neglelis, has to be rolled up. Misoif alat chilosoif, from the end to the beginning. He says that's halach, has to be rolled up, not supposed to be able, not supposed to be exposed. He thought that if you hang up a mezuzah like that, you can read the whole parasha in not yotz. So what does he quote from the Goyim? That you don't need sirtut by tefillin mifnei shei mechufim, because they're covered up and they're sewed up, but the mezuzah is also rolled up. You're not supposed to have it exposed. So the Rishonim say, because the Gemara has a din, that mezuzah has to be nivdekes pamayim b'shavua, twice every 7 years. It's supposed to be bodek the mezuzah. Because mezuzah is exposed to the heat in the summertime and to the cold, the freezing cold in the wintertime. So it could be that in the course of 2-3 years, maybe something became possible because of the heat or because of the cold. Hashem can the tefillin amamish sewn up and wrapped up and it's all sealed up, so the heat and the cold probably not going to affect it. That's how it says in the Gemara. So they quote the name of Rabbi Shlomo Zal ben Auerbach, that he thought that Bizman said that we have air conditioning and we have steam, so in the summertime it's not so cold, in the winter time, in the summertime it's not so hot, in the winter time it's not so cold. So he thought maybe our mezuzahs have the same din as the tefillin, Bizman and Gemara, that once you've avoided it, you don't have to be avoided it for the rest of your life. The Gemara says, strictly speaking, if you have tefillin that you wear on a regular basis, let's say someone has a pair of tefillin that he only uses when he travels, and he travels once every 2 months. Whenever he goes traveling, he leaves his tefillin in a shul. He goes traveling, so he uses these tefillin. So he hardly wears those tefillin. So he doesn't know what happens. Maybe there was a leak in the ceiling, and maybe there was a puddle of water, and the tefillin was sitting in the puddle of water for a week, and then it dried up. Maybe he doesn't know what happened. But if you have tefillin that you wear on a regular basis means once every 30 days, so then you never have to be boided. But let's say someone has a pair of tefillin from a Zelta Zeta, from the Baal Shem Tov, or whatever, from the Rapture Tzarek, whatever. He doesn't want to wear it all the time. He wears regular tefillin every day. And this he holds in a closet somewhere. He doesn't want to wear it all the time. So if you don't wear it on a regular basis, dying once every 30 days, and then you want to wear it later, so you have to be boiding it. You have to be boiding the tefillin, Pamayim Shavua, the same as the mezuzah, twice every 7 years. It doesn't mean once every 3.5 years, once every 2 years, once every 3 years, once every 4 years. Should turn out approximately twice every 7 years. So some say that's the pshat in the Tshuvas HaGoyim, that the tefillin amechufim, you don't have to be bodek the tefillin. You seal the tefillin up, if you wear them on a regular basis, you never have to be bodek the tefillin. So since it's not neat on the kriya, that's what you're saying. Since it's not neat on the kriya, it's not intended to be read, even to check it. So that's why you don't need sirtut. Masheni kein a mezuzah, since mezuzah has to be nivdek as pamayim shavua, so it is neat on the kriya. And the sefer is going to check it over to make sure there are no words missing, there are no letters missing, or none of the letters got rubbed out. So it is neat on the kriya. A little bit doichik.
I thought
that something becomes davar subit kedusha because of sokim that are written. So why does the shalosh have more kedusha than shel yad just because of the shin? I mean, is the shin from some pasuk, or
the
shin is assumed to be a letter of Torah, the shin of Shema Yisrael, I guess.
Oh.
I don't know, I think so.
And why does one of them have four?
That's a big machlokes. Why does one shin have four Russian, the other shin has three? A normal shin has three Russian. So the Zohar, Rabbi Kivegar, on the bottom of the page in the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Zohar that there are two ways to make a shin, two legitimate ways, either with three Russian or four Russian. And if you have a Sefer Torah which says Bereshis and the shin has four heads, that's okay. Any shin in the Sefer Torah can either be written this way or that way, they're both acceptable. The other opinion is quoted by the Beis Yosef that it's not so. It's only a shin with Gimel Roshim on top. And the shin that we have on the Shal Rosh with four Roshim, the two middle, the lines that connect the top to the bottom should not touch the bottom. Only you have four Roshim on the one shin. So the two Roshim on the right side and the left side should touch the base on the bottom. And the two Roshim in the middle should not touch the bedavke, not touch the base on the bottom. So what you have in effect is a shin of Gimel Rosh and a shin Shakua. The space in between makes three Rosh on top. There's a shin Shakua because there was Ksiba at Maimon HaSinai. The Ksiba on the Luchas was Charis on the luchas, it was engraved. So the oisias on the luchas was shakua, they were engraved. The shinin in the Sefer Torah, aksav, so every shin only has gimel Russian. And the shin that has dalet Russian is representative of the shin of the luchas, of the kodem matan Torah shin. So if you have four Russian on top, and the two lines in the middle do not reach the bottom, so you have gimel Russian on top of the shakua part, touching the base on the bottom, not the base, the empty base on the bottom. It's going to represent the shin shakua. So that's what the base is. Base is. Huh? Those are the two versions. Whether bedavka they should touch or bedavka they should not touch. So I think they're different stuff and do it differently. It'll be an afkamina. Let's see, you have a sefer Torah. And the Sefer, for some reason or another, decided to make Shin and Bereshis, a Shin and Shmos, with a Shin of Dalet Russian, another Shin. Would that be good? So according to the Zohar, the two legitimate ways to write a Shin, either Dalet Russian or Gimel Russian. And the Shin on the outside of the Tefillin is a Shin of Dalet Russian, and all the four lines should touch the bottom. And the Shin is what's Boilet, not what's Shakua. If he says it, quotes an opinion, the Bedavka Faker, the two Russian in the middle, Shadav cannot touch the bottom, so you have a shin of Gimel Rosh and Shakua, and that shin should be, that's what the Beis Yosef quotes, on one side of the tefillin you have Kadesh, on the other side of the tefillin you have Shema. So the Kadesh was Kodesh Matan Torah, that was given before Yetzias Mitzrayim, Kadesh Li Kol B'chor. So the shin on that side should be the shin Shakua, representing the Ksav of the Luchas, Kodesh Matan Torah. And the shin on the other side of the Shalrosh, we have Shema. Shema was after Matan Torah. So then we deal with the Ksav of the Sefer Torah. So the Ksav of the Sefer Torah is the Ksav that's boiled, not the Ksav Shakua.
Our Shin with four heads on the left side. Our Shin with four heads.
Is on the left side. It's Kadesh is on that side. Kadesh is on that side. And the Gemara never says you need two Shins. That says in Shulchan Aruch. And the Gemara just says, Shin Shel Tefillin Halacha Moshim Sina. Sounds like Gemara is only one Shin. And we follow later poskim who say that you make two shins. So the Beis Yosef explains the one shin has Dalet Roshin, really has Gimel Roshin. That's the shin of Kodesh Matan Torah representing the Ksav of the Luchas. And the shin on the other side, on the side where Shema is, that represents the shin of Lacha Matan Torah.
We say the Shal Rosh has more Kedusha because it has two of the letters of Shakai. And the Shal Yad only has the Yud.
Rashi writes like that, yeah. Roka Anos Kishem Hashem Nikra Lecha V'Yarim Imeka Eilat Tefillin Sheberosh. So Rashi says because you have the Shin and the Dalet, and then the Shalyad has the Yud, so you have 2/3 of the Shem Shakai. So Tosfos and Brachos disagrees with Rashi. They prove in the Gemara that Kesher Shel Tefillin Halacha Moshe Misina, that you have to have a Kesher, that the Kesher Shel Rosh should be Tzuras Dalet, and the Kesher Shel Yad should be Tzuras Yud. So Tosfos claims that's not part of the Halacha Moshe Misina. That's only Midei Rabbanan. So Tosfos says, how can you interpret in the pasuk where all kalami horitz kishem Hashem nikra alach refers to the shin and the dalet and the yud? That's only mid the rabbanon. The only thing that's alach hamashim misina is the shin, the dalet with the yud. That there should be a kesher shall tefillin halach hamashim misina. Tosfos proves it from the Gemara. The Gemara says in Bema Madlikin that we have alach hamashim misina uhuchshu lemalach hashamayim alor behem etorah bovad. You can only use for tefillin from a kosher animal. You're not allowed to use the hide from an elephant, from a horse, from a donkey. It has to be hide, even though the hide is not edible anyway. If you want to eat it, if you want to eat the hide from an elephant, it's kosher. It's not treif. Only the sar behemot tmeya is treif. The hide is kosher. But still, that's halach. He can only write on our behemot Torah. So the Gemara says it's halach l'moshe misina. Gemiri, halach l'mefreg the Gemara. What do you need halach l'moshe misina for? You can darshan it from a pasuk. It says in the parasha Tefillin, "Mantia teras Hashem eficha, kibyad chazaka otziach Hashem in Mitzrayim." So the Gemara understands an additional. So the simple pshat in the pasuk is, you should teras Hashem eficha, kibyad chazaka otziach Hashem in Mitzrayim. You should talk about Yitzias Mitzrayim. You should talk about it. Tell our children, our grandchildren, about Yitzias Mitzrayim. So the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation on that pasuk, teras Hashem eficha, min amuta beficha. That the parshias of tefillin should be written on cloth, on parchment from a kosher animal. If the behemah is not muta beficho, then you're not allowed to use it to write parshas of the tefillin. Why do you need Allah al Moshe mis Sinai? That lehuchshel malach shamayim alar behem atar belvad can only use for tefillin from a kosher animal. You don't need Allah al Moshe mis Sinai. We read it into the psukim. Manti ataras Hashem meficham and amuta beficham. And for the Gemara, Torah Hashem Eficham and Amuta Beficham only applies when you have words of Torah written. The klaf, where you write the parshios, that has to be Torah Hashem Eficham and Amuta Beficham. But on the bias doesn't have any letters, so there's no problem. So Gemara, what do you mean? The bias Shorosh has a shin. It's also Torah Hashem Eficham and Amuta Beficham. And for the Gemara, Zolzain Afritzuis. The Ritzuis have no Oisius. The bias Shorosh has the shin. So the Bayis Shal Rosh, the parchment has to be from Arba Hematar Belvad, that's based on the Pasuk, Teres Hashem Eficham and Amuta Beficham. That's one, the Shin is one Ois of Torah, so it has to be on Kosher Parsha. But the Ritzuas have no Oisius at all, so based on the Psukim, you would know at all that you need Kosher, the hide should come from a Kosher animal. So the fact that the Ritzuas has to be from Kosher animal, that's only Halacha Moshe Messina. So Tosfos asks on Rashi, if Rashi is right that the Shin and the Dalet and the Yud, everything is Halach Moshe Mesinai, so just like the Gemara says the Shin requires that it should be on kosher, on hide from a kosher animal, because Teres Hashem has to be on klaf, that's Muta Beficha, so the Dalet and the Yud should also have to be. So Tosfos in Brachos Davar, Tosfos in Brachos proves in a few places, Tosfos proves that Rashi is not right, that you see that the Dalet and the Yud, that's only Midirabban. The Gemara just says kesher shel tefillin. You should have a kesher. That's Halacha Moshe Messina. You can't just wrap it around and make a bow. The Gemara discusses in the last perek in Erev. What if you make, let's say, on the shel yad or the shel rosh? What if you make a bow? Is it good? So the Gemara says, does a bow have the status of a kesher or not? Let's say in Shabbos there are 39 malachas. So there's a malach of kosher. What's the din if you make an aniva on Shabbos? So we pask an aniva is not called a kesher from malachas kosher. So aniva is possible for tefillin. According to the Tana, one Tana disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, and he holds in Hilchos Shabbos. He holds that if you make a bow on Shabbos, aniva is a malacha deraisa of kosher. So he would hold that aniva is good for tefillin also. If you make an aniva, it's probably not going to have the shape of a dalet, not going to have the shape of a yud. So you see, even the Gemara, no one's bothered about the shape. That's only made the Rabbana. Halacha Moshe Messina just requires you should have a kesher. That's Taisus Sarkocha from the Gemara. Rabbi Kivega and the comments on Shulchan Aruch has a whole discussion here. The din is when you write tefillin and mezuzah, you have to write it lishma. Let's say you make mezuzah, and mezuzah Halacha Moshe Messina requires sirtut on every line. So let's say the sirtut was made by a nochri. Instead of the sefer doing all the work on his own, he commissions a nochri to help him out. The sirtut is the ksiva is going to be done by the Israel, and sirtut is done by the nochri. Do you need the shema and the sirtut also? So some of the achrayim insist yes, machloek is achrayim. Some say just like you need ksiva lishma, you need ibud lishma to take the hide and to convert it into parchment that's useful for parshios. You need ibud lishma, so you need sirtut lishma. Rabbi Kivega points out from Taisus, it would appear that Taisus holds you don't need sirtut lishma, because Taisus asks on the Gemara. The Gemara there, Menachah, is quoted the Brisa that if you have an old pair of tefillin shabalu, and you have an alternative, you can't use it as tefillin anymore. You can either put the whole thing in Shemus, or you can use Shema V'Yom Shemaya for a mezuzah. The Gemara says you're not allowed to convert tefillin into mezuzah, because Malam HaKodesh V'lo Marid. It's a violation of Marid. Frag the Gemara, what do you need this reasoning? Malam HaKodesh V'lo Marid. The tefillin didn't have any sirta, then the mezuzah needs sirta. So Tosfos says, why didn't the Gemara simply say, Hochma Askinon, he did sirta. So Tosfos says, no, he'll be an idiot. He'll be an idiot. That's what Tosfos said. So Rabbi Kivega says, what did Tosfos say? He'll be an idiot. He should have said, if he did sirtut, Zolzain is an idiot. If he did sirtut for tefillin, that's not lishma. You don't need sirtut for tefillin. He planned to write tefillin. So if he did the sirtut, there wasn't lishma. Now he wants to use shma v'yoyim shemaya for the mezuzah. So the sirtut was done stam for the heck of it, for the fun of it. It was done just to keep the line straight. It wasn't done lishma. Why didn't Taisus answer that it wasn't Dan Lishma? So it would appear from the Taisus that you don't need Sirta Lishma. That's Rabbi Kedim.
Where's the marker ready for mezuzah and
Lishma? Where's the marker that you need Ksiva Lishma by anything? Yeah.
By mezuzah.
Yeah. The Ramban on Sukkah Daftes, the Gemara has a little bit about making a Sukkah Lishma, a Machlekes Besilim Bishama, where they have to put the Schach up Lishma. The Gemara talks about Tvias Achutim Letzitzes. You take wool, you make it into strings, then you want to use the strings to tie on tzitzes. You need Tvias Lishma. So we have Machlekes, we pass, you do need Tvias Lishma. The Gemara says everything needs a Pasuk. To say that Hanochas Haschach has to be Lishma is a Machlekes Bishama Misil based on Psukim. To say that you need tviyas achutim lishma, you need psukim. So the Ramban there asks, and where is the pasuk that says ksiva sefer Torah has to be lishma? So he quotes the pasuk, kisva lachem asashira hazois. The marker for the mitzvah of ksiva sefer Torah is kisva lachem asashira hazois v'lambas bnei Yisrael sima b'fim. The pasuk pshat in the pasuk goes on shiras hazinu. Kadosh Baruch Hu instructs Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshua ben Nun that together. He instructs them, Kisvah Lachem, write Shiras Hazinu, and then give it over to Bnei Yisrael. The Gemara says that's Pshut Shel Mikra. And an additional level of interpretation, the Kisvah Lachem goes on all of Klal Yisrael, not only to Moshe and Yeshua, and the Shira refers to the whole Sefer Torah. The whole Sefer Torah is referred to as the Shira. So the Ramban says, the word Lachem means L'shem Chai Vaschem. Like by Sukkah, the Gemara says, how does the Gemara Darshan forgot already such a similar word Lachem L'shem Chai Vaschem? So here Ramban thinks that that's the Mokka that Ksiva Sefer Torah needs Lishmo. So we usually assume, I don't know where the Pasuk is, we usually assume that the Dinam of Ksiva Sefer Torah, Tefillin and Mezuzah are identical. So once you have a Pasuk that you need Ksiva Sefer Torah Lishmo, so you need Ksiva Mezuzah and Tefillin also Lishmo. That's the Shalom. Does that extend on the assumption that that's so, that you need Ksivas a mezuzah lishma? Does that extend also to the Sirtut? The Sirtut is sort of a hechsher for the Ksiva. That if you don't have the Sirtut, it's not going to be kosher. So does the requirement for lishma and the Ksiva, does it carry over to the Sirtut or not?
Can you do Sirtut afterwards?
So this Tosfos has the suffix. Maybe you can do Sirtut afterwards. So Rabbi Kivegi asked on Yeridaya, if you can use Sirtut afterwards, so what was the Gemara's kasha? The Gemara says, you can't take an old pair of tefillin shebalu, you got worn out, you can't take it and take Shema v'yam Shema and convert it into mezuzah, because malam HaKadosh v'lo marid. So the Gemara affect Akasha, but if you hold that tefillin don't need sirtut, mezuzah does need sirtut, there's nothing to discuss. But Tosfos has a suffix, maybe you can put the sirtut in after the ksiva, it doesn't have to be there before. So don't you see mefurish from the Gemara that you can't put the sirtut in after the ksiva? So that's what the achrayim come to farem harem kedeg is kasha. How can Tosfos have a suffix if it's often in the Gemara? They're quoting that Gemara. They quote the Gemara beferish that it seems he can't put the sirtut after. So that the achrayim say Tosfos' suffix only was regarding Megillah Saita. Kos vegeris pula basefer amrachmana. Rashi learns the Gemara. Igeris means if you wrote a Megillah Saita without sirtut. So there, Tosfos has a suffix. Maybe you can put the sirtut in after ksiva. But by mezuzah, for sure, the Balei Tosfos knew that you can't put in the sirtut after. That's what often in the Gemara. Otherwise, the Gemara wouldn't have a kasha. So so that's the question. Why should there be a difference? Why should there be a difference? So they say it'll be chok toiches. At the time that he did the ksiva was lacking sirtut, so it's a psul. By the Megillah Saita, you can do the ksiva and then you can be machshir it later. But yeah, you can use the ksiva and do the sirtut later. Tosfos raises such a possibility. By mezuzah, you can't do it like that. That's how they want to defend Tosfos. Otherwise, Tosfos doesn't make sense. They write a sofik and they're dealing with that Gemara Menachos the whole time. So how can they be not sure what it says? Again, and this whole discussion in Tosfos, this is all according to Rashi. Rashi learns the last line on Yud Zayin Amud Beis, Kosva Igeres. He wrote the Megillah Saita without Sirtut. Other Rishonim say Kosva Igeres just means like when you write a letter, you're not always medaktek in Mali and Chosra. Sometimes you make a misspelling and you won't go back to correct it. You're not so medaktek. A letter is going to be thrown out in the garbage anyway. You're not going to hang it up on a in a photo album or anything. going to throw it in the garbage. So some Rishonim say Kasa Vigarius means he weren't careful on the Mala and the Chasa, that the Megillah Saita has to be written word for word and letter for letter the way it says in the Chumash. The Rambam writes that when you write the Megillah Saita, you have to write Yud Kei Vav Kei the way it appears. Whenever it says Shem Hashem, you have to write Yud Kei Vav Kei the way it says in the Gemara, the way it says in the Chumash. Yeah, what's the Chiddush? So they quote from Avel Valam that the din is you have to write the Megillah Saita after she took the Shvuah. If you write it before, it's no good. Why? So we explained, that's what Avel will explain, the Rav Soloveitchik explained like that, that you're not really writing the Psukim from the Chumash, you're writing the Shvuah Sasoita. So truth of the matter, first she has to swear the Shvuah and then you write it. If she didn't swear yet, so you're writing Psukim. If she didn't take the Shvuah, so you're not writing Shvuah Sasoita. So when she says the Shvuah, the Pashtus is, as Rav Avel assumes, she pronounces Yud Kei Vav Kei as Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. So one might have thought that since that's the way she pronounced it, so when you write it, you should write it Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, because you're not writing Psukim, the Torah is Psukim. Mm-hmm. You're writing the Shvuah Sasoita. So since she pronounced it, so the Sirta does need it because Nikra Sefer. The Gemara said a new reason, Nikra Sefer. There is a Taisus later where Taisus seems to say that Megillah Saita is you're writing Psukim. So this contradicts his whole word. So some say it's both. You're writing Psukim and you're writing Shvuah Sasoita. Anyway, that's what Rav Elbel is saying. That what's the Chiddush? When the Rambam writes, you have to write Yud Kei Vav Kei the way it says in the Sefer Torah. One might have thought that since you're writing a Shvuah Sasoita, and she doesn't pronounce it Yud Kei Vav Kei, she pronounces it Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, so one might have mistakenly thought that's how you should write it in the Megillah Saita. So the Rambam says, no, Kamash Malan, she says Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, but she's referring to the Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's the pronunciation of Yud Kei Vav Kei.
I get it, it's also said Sefer.
Right, that's the show. So we're machmir taka to do sirtut, yeah, and every line.
I only thought it was because to make it, you know, to write it nicely.
Yeah, yeah.
Why
the Pashto says a get is nishke mitzvah, so there wouldn't be a zekele vandeh. He says zekele vandeh, that makes sense by tefillin. Tefillin, you don't need sirtut in order not to have sloppy, so I say zekele vandeh. But by get, it's a nishke mitzvah, that you say you're going to make a hidden mitzvah. Have the get engraved on a golden plaque. There's no hidden mitzvah on a get. A get is matter the woman. It's a din. She shouldn't remarry with that again. But it's not that it's a cheftish on mitzvah. You should say, sekele v'andei. Yeah, that was choshish for Rashi Shita. Rashi says, whenever it says sefer, so you need sirtut. That's how Rashi read this Gemara. Because we get a psul about sefer machmana, Rashi will say, v'tor needs sirtut. And the Megillah Saita needs Sirtut, because everything that's called Sefer needs Sirtut. So get is called Sefer Krisus, so you need Sirtut. So Taisus and Megillah. When the Gemara says that in the Megillah says that needs Sirtut, so Taisus says that on Rashi. What do you mean? According to Rashi, a get needs Sirtut in every line, because it's called Sefer. So the answer is, yeah, we're Machma for the Rashi, we do Sirtut. And Taisus disagrees. Taisus says, Megillah says, Higeris means you weren't careful on the Mole and the Chose. And you don't need sirtut in every line. There's no halacha you need sirtut. Megillah says to need sirtut in every line, but not the Megillah Saita. Then the Gemara has on the top line more details of Ksivas Megillah Saita. Kasval shnei dafim psula. If you write the Megillah Saita on two different, what do you mean shnei dafim? Why is psula? Because sefer echad am rachmana v'lo shnayim u'shlosh esvarim. That's what it says. Ba sefer. So you have to have sefer echad v'loshnayim shloshes form. So Rashi has a chiddush, the top Rashi. Kedafim shal sefer Torah asuyim amudim. In the sefer Torah you have many columns. So if you write the Megillah Saita on one parchment, one piece of parchment, but two columns, so Rashi holds that it's no good. Taisa says mehecha taisa. Where did he get that from? No, kasval shnei dafim have two pieces of parchment. He writes half in the Megillah Saita on one, half in the Megillah Saita on the other one. So it's two different pieces of paper. So that's no good. But if you write on two columns on the same piece of parchment, Taisus holds that should be good. Taisus writes a chiddush this long. Taisus, the top of Yud Ches Amin Aleph starts on Yud Zayin and Beis goes to Yud Ches Amin Aleph. Taisus writes a chiddush. The Kavanah says he doesn't know where in the world Taisus got this from. What if you write the whole Megillah Sota on one parchment and the whole Megillah Sota on another parchment? And then you erase both. You wrote the whole from A to Z. You wrote the whole Megillah Sota on two different pieces of parchment, and you erase both of them into one cup of water. So Taisa says, "Das toy geichet nicht." Sefer Lechot Am Rachmana, lo shnayim shloshes svarim. Is that really what it means? If you have two svarim, it's no good. If you need two svarim to add up to one, if you wrote half the Megillah Sota on one parchment, half on another parchment, that's not acceptable. But if you wrote the whole Megillah Sota on two different pieces of parchment, then you erase both of them into one cup of water. And the Tosafos know that that's no good. This is quotes other Gemaras. We have such a din. Here Tosafos quotes from Rosh Hashanah. Take a look at the top of Yud Ches Amud Beis on the fifth line. The Gemara says, Shefer Echad Am Rachmana, the top Tosafos on Yud Ches Amud Aleph on the fifth line. So the Gemara says, Shefer Echad Am Rachmana, Vele Shnayim Meshloshes Shefers. So the Gemara explains the Mishnah. You have a Shefer that has a neck of it, it has a hole. So then is, if you blow Shefer the way it is, even though the fact that it has a hole is going to cause the sound to change, not going to sound normal, not going to sound like a normal tekiah. So the din is kol hakolus ksherim b'shefer. Whatever it sounds like, is as long as it's a tekiah, can be screechy, it can be a baritone, it can be whatever it sounds like, as long as the tekiah is a good tekiah, is good. I remember there used to be a Baal Tekiah. One of the boys from the yeshiva tried to serve as the Baal Tekiah in Boston by Rav Soloveitchik. Didn't know how to blow shofar. He followed all the rules and regulations that says the Shulchan Aruch. Tekiah was so long and the Shvarim that you up. So Rav Soloveitchik said he can't be the Baal Tekiah, it's no good. So he said, but it says kol hakolos ksherim b'shofar, whatever it sounds like is good. So he said, yeah, but that sounds like a dog barking. It doesn't sound like the Gemara has such a lashon. It sounds like a dog barking. So it has to sound like a kol hashofar. But the Gemara says if you have a nekev in the shofar and you don't fix it, it's good. You can have sometimes a screechy sound, sometimes a thick sound. Everything is good. What happens if you fix it? Dibek shifrei shofars. I take a chip, I smash a shofar into little tiny pieces, and I take one piece of this shofar and I stick it where the hole is, where the neck of it is in this shofar, and I correct it, and now it sounds better. Now the kol shofar sounds better. If the when I add the piece from the other shofar to this hole doesn't change anything, kihuzeh, the kol shofar sounds exactly the same as it did with the hole, without the hole, nothing changed. So garnish, then it doesn't change. But if by adding dibik shifrei shofars, by adding a piece from another, a chip from another shofar to the hole over here, it changes the tone of the shofar, so it's possible because of dinah shofar echad am rachmana l'shnayim shloshes shofars. Then the Gemara says, not only is that no good, because it literally came from two different shofars, even if you have the shofar shel para grows to a certain length, and every year another little bit grows on, and has curls on the outside that represent every year a little bit more grew on. So it's really only one shofar. It grew on the one head of the one animal. But since you can tell, the Gemara is lashon here, Rosh Hashanah Daf Chavav, where Tosafos quotes. The line after Rosh Hashanah Daf Chavav, Kevin de Izbe Gildi, Gildi, since it has the rose on the outside, we declare it's possible, Kishnayim Shloshes Shofars Domi. Avgav de Mechubri, even though they're attached, that's the way you know it grows naturally on the animal, because it looks like it's Shnayim Shloshes Shofars. So that we understand, the Kavanah says, that we understand. If you have a shofar that has a hole, and you took a chip from another shofar, so you made one shofar from two. You have a shofar shal para, and every year it goes gildy a little bit more, and it looks like it. One shofar is made up of a few. I understand that. That's one shofar that's made up from a few. So here there's a din sefer echad v'lo shnayim v'shloshes svarim. If you have Megillah Sota, half is written on one cloth, half is written on another cloth, and you erase them both together, that's no good. It has to be written on one cloth. But Tosafos writes a Dovah Poshet, if you have the whole Megillah Sota written on each of two pieces of parchment, and you erase both of them, the Zoichet is good. Where does it say in the Gemara? If you did it twice, Tosafos quotes another Gemara from Bava Kamma. later in Tosis, about 30 lines into the Tosis, says Bavakama Daf Mem Amar Aleph Koyferech and Amar Achmana Veloshnai Mashlosh Koyferim. The Gemara there says Shor Hamuat Shohar Gesa Adam. If it's the fourth time the Shor killed the person, he's supposed to give it the death penalty the first time he kills an Adam. So the Gemara says if the Bala Shor hid the Shor ran away, they couldn't catch it, and the Shor already killed the fourth time. So the fourth time he kills an Adam, the Shor gets Misa, should have got Misa the first time, and if it's the fourth time, then the Bala Shor has to pay Koifer. So the Gemara has a discussion, what if the Shor is owned by Shutfin? Do you say that each Shutf pays half of the Koifer? But he say, no, that's not good. The Torah says, Koifer, Koifer Echad, Veloshnai Meshloshe Koifer. We have two or three Shutfim, each one is going to pay his share, his percentage of the ownership. One is a 75% owner, one is a 12.5% owner, the other one is a 12.5% owner. So each one is going to pay his share of the Koifer. So that's a violation of Koifer Echad, Loshnai Meshloshe Koifer. What if the Bezin says, there's one owner of the Beim, Bezin says you have to pay Koifer $100,000. Says, I feel so bad, my Shor killed a human being, I want to give $200,000. So you're going to say he's not Yotzei, because Koifer Echad Veloshnai Meshloshe Koifer. If he paid twice as much as he's supposed to, you're not Yotzei. Why not? Where does it? Koifer Echad Veloshnai Meshloshe Koifer means if three people, each one is going to pay their part, so you don't add it up together to say that it constitutes one Koifer. Sefer Echad Veloshnai Meshloshe Svar means if you have half of the Megillah Sota written, or by get also there's a din. It says, because of Veloshnai Sefer Krisa. So the Gemara says, Sefer Echad Veloshnai Meshloshe Svar. You can't give, if you write a half a get on one piece of paper, if you get on another piece of paper, that's no good. It has to be written on the same piece. But if he writes two gittin, exact same thing. He writes two gittin and gives both gittin to his wife, that's also no good. Where does it say that that's no good? Why should Tosis assume that that's no good? But that's the Tosis assumes like that. That if you give two gittin, it's no good. So the Achrayim are bothered with kashas. There's a mission in gittin. Two men are married, and the husbands and the wives have exactly the same name. His name is Eliyahu ben Baruch, and the wife's name is Sara Bas Yankif. So each one wrote a get. So they both live over here, and the get has to be delivered in China. So the shliach goes with two different envelopes. Said this get is for Goldstein, this get is for Schreiber, whatever. Then he took the get out of the envelopes. Now I forgot which one is for which. They have exactly the same names. Everything's exactly the same. So it says, and the get has to be written l'shma. So you can't give the wrong get to the wrong woman. So it says, if you give both getting to this woman, one of the two is going to be good. They both give them to this woman, one of them is going to be good. Right? Everything is fine. So the Achrayim asked, but according to Tosfos, that Sefer Echad Veloshnai Meshloshe Svarim, if you give two getting, it's no good. Not only if you write, you have to get on one piece of paper, you have to get on the other piece of paper. Even if you write the whole get twice on two different pieces of paper, it's no good. So here it should be no good because Sefer Echad Veloshnai Meshloshe Svarim. So that
he gives it, or he gives it
for Basak. So you can give it
Bezach Hazeh. One of them is just right.
The Pashtus is that it should Zichah be. Maybe a problem. Right. That's what they're asking. What would be the din if you would give it Bezach Hazeh? Give Bezach Hazeh probably would be good. So the answer, so they come to defend Tosis. Tosis says that if you give two gittin, it's no good. So they come to defend Tosis and they say, that's not two gittin. Because only one of them is written l'shma, the other one is no good. So he's only giving one get to this one, he's only giving one. But if he would have written two gittin l'shma, and you would give both to the same woman, then it would be no good. So it's because of this Tosis that they have a chumra. In Shulchan Aruch, there's a takanas, Rabbi Gamliel, there's a mishnah gittin. Rabbi Gamliel made a takana. When you write a get, you have to write all the names. It says Shiyuhu Edim Mefarshim Shmasei Megidim. Not only the Edim, the husband's name, the wife's name. So you write all the names and all the nicknames and all the names. The three different names. He has the name that he was given, Shem Arisa, when he was a baby in the cradle. What name did they give when he was born? Then they have name Shem Shalom Bava Torah, the name that he gets when he gets an Aliyah. They have the name Shenikra B'fichol. How does everybody call him? So we write all of these names. My father used to tell over the story. My father used to be a Masadik Gittin. So he would tell over that he once asked the woman, when your father gets an Aliyah and he says, I'm Shabarach for you, what name does he say? So she says, what do you mean my father gets an aliyah? When I get an aliyah, they call me up like this. What's it got to do? My father gets an aliyah. She's davening in a conservative synagogue. So you should get an aliyah. So they have the three different names. So you write all names. You write all the names. So sometimes there's a machloikas when you're supposed to write a certain name or not. So sometimes in rare cases, they'll write two different gittin. They write one get with additional name and one get a different spelling. Shala had a spell. So how do you spell Polish names or Yiddish names or English names? How are you supposed to spell it in Hebrew? Because the get is only written in one language, in one script. You don't write the whole get in Hebrew script in Ksav Ashuris. Then you write the names in English letters. The whole get is written in Hebrew. So sometimes there's a machlokes, what's the correct way to transliterate a Yiddish name or an English name into Hebrew. So sometimes you write two gittin. So that's when they raise the issue. According to this Tosfos, it should be no good that both gittin were written in Lashma. It should be a violation of Sefer Echad Loshnayim Mishlosh Esfarim. The Pashtus is that, like the Karen Ari said, there's not a problem Bechlal. Shnayim Mishlosh Esfarim means you can't have one get that's made up of different parts. But if you write the whole get twice and you give the woman two gittin, what's the problem? So the minhag is that you give one get, and then you write, you don't give both at the same time. Like you say, you give one get, and then later on you give the second get. You write the second get after you already gave the first get. So each one is separate.
Don't they usually say, you know, they use the name, and then they have Mechuna this, and I'm Mechuna that. So they try to figure out any kind of nickname or the variation.
Right. So sometimes there's a machlokes. Right, a rough from out of town came... came to me on Friday to have a case. the husband is a criminal and he's sitting in jail now. And when they first realized the husband was a criminal and he may be sitting in jail for 30 years, so they told him, they wanted him to agree that day to give a get to his wife. So usually we don't do this. So they had him sign a kisvu tenu. He said he made a statement in the presence of the bench. His wife wasn't there. They didn't do the get on the spot. So he said, "Kisvu tenu get, please write a get and sign the get and give it to my wife." And they have to write even 100 get until you get it straight right. So they wrote. So they knew all the names. He has the name that he calls him up to the Sefer Torah and the name that people call him. They call him this name, that name, the other name. They didn't realize that they call him up to the Sefer Torah, whatever, Yankev Eliyahu. And a lot of people only call him Yankif. They don't call him Elio. So they wrote all the names except for that. That many people call him Yankif. They didn't write that. So that's a machlokes in Achreinim. Some Achreinim hold that that's a kitzva Hashem. That's the guy's name is Yisrael. And they call him Yissi. So Yissi, the guy's name is Yitzchak, and they call him Yitzi. So that's not another name. That's a kitzva Hashem of Yitzchak. But Yissi is a kitzva Hashem of Yisrael. So you don't have to write that name. If name is Aaron, they call him Babe. It's a totally different name. That's not the same name. That's Hamachuna. You call another name. But if his real name is Yitzchak, you call him Yitzi. Because his name is Yisrael, you call him Yissi. That's the same name of Kitz Hashem. So most of the Poskim hold that they call him whatever, Yankif Elio. His name when he gets an Aliyah is Yankif Elio. And a lot of people call him Yankif. That's also Kitz Hashem. And one of the Achreinim is Machmer. So they wrote the get and they gave it. And now... they're not sure whether they should be choshesh for that chumer. If they'll go ask the husband now he's sitting in jail. If they go ask the husband now, he will say, don't write another get. Now he's angry at the whole world because he's sitting in jail. And it's very miserable. So that's they have a shaila. Should they just write the other get? Because the husband authorized them to write as many gittin as they want to until they're satisfied. So maybe they're not satisfied. Husband didn't tell him not to write any gittin. If they'll ask him, he'll say, don't write any more gittin because he's angry at the world. So he has a whole deal whether it's proper to be machmer to write another get.
Wouldn't that have an effect on the get in terms of knowing who's who?
That should be.
Knowing today at all?
Yeah. So we follow. Taisa says you don't write last names. Taisa says Ibn Ezra. In the days of the Baal Taisa, they didn't have so many last names. So Taisa in Gittin learns a Mishnah that the minhag is you don't write last names. Rav Soloveitchik insists that you have to put in last names into the ksuba. The husband and the wife and the eidim, everybody should write last names. Rav Moshe also writes like that in his tshuvas. You should write last names, but the Hillel Maaser never did it. He writes in his sefer, you should write last names, but probably he never did it. So Rav Soloveitchik introduced it by the RCA ksuba. he wrote, he should always write Pliny, Ben Pliny, Le Mishpachas Pliny, he should write the family name. He said, by Gittin, we don't do it. He said, if he would have chutzpah, he would introduce it by Gittin also. He says, he doesn't have that much chutzpah, because Taisa says, Shulchan Aruch says, the minhag is you don't write last names, based on the Taisa and the end of Gittin. So this is a very famous Taisus. The Taisus disagrees with Rashi. Kosval Shnei Dafim. Rashi says that if you write the Megillah site on two columns on the same piece of parchment, it's no good. And Taisus said that's not what it means. Al Shnei Dafim means if you wrote on two different pieces of parchment. If you wrote two columns on the same piece of parchment, that would be fine. There's a Shiloh over here. It's unclear in Taisus. What if you wrote on two sides of the parchment? If you wrote half a Megillah site on one side, half on the other side, is that considered Nikra? We always do like that. You write on one side of the paper, then you turn around, you write on the other side. Or is that assumed to be like on two different pieces of paper? That Taisus doesn't take a stand on that. That's a shaila. Many poskim are of the opinion that Al Pidin, that's not considered a Hemshech of Kriya. There is a discussion. Many have the practice that when somebody gets maftir, so instead of reading the Haftarah from the printed Chumash, it only has a little section from Yiriya, whatever, from Nehemia, well, from Zechariah. Nehemia, whatever, from Zechariah.
They take a
nach. So you take a nach. So some have the practice, you take a printed sefer that has. So this is based on a printed sefer is not written on parchment. So what good is that? That's like reading Baal Peh. So if you're reading Baal Peh, you may as well read from the printed Chumash over here. So that's based on the Magen Avraham quotes a Taz in Yerideya. Magen Avraham lived after the Taz. See, he never quotes the Taz on Aruch Chaim. He didn't have the Taz as commentary on Aruch Chaim, but he has a Taz on Yerideya. Every so often he'll quote it. So Magen Avraham quotes the Taz on Yerideya, Chela Gimel, Hilcha Sefer Torah, that Taz quotes that there's an opinion in Taisvis, in Masechah Shabbos, in Perikol Kisvei, that only for a Sefer Torah do you require that it should be written on parchment, and if it's Nevi'im Uksuvim, it's kosher if it's written on paper also. So since there is such an opinion, so if you have a Tanakh that's printed, so maybe that's called a Sefer Shalom. Maybe it has a Maila, maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. Maybe it has a Maila over the printed Haftarah that's printed in the Chumash. So the Rav Soloveitchik, I remember, said like the Chazon Ish, he said that's a big joke. You accomplish nothing by that. So they both have the same taina. If everything would be written on one side of the page, and all the pages would be glued together, that would be what to discuss. Maybe there's one opinion in Taisus that that's called the Sefer Shalom. But it's written on both sides of the page, and it's done up over here. So Al-Pidin, there's no hemshech and reading from one side of the page to the other. That was their taina. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik thought, like Chazon Ish, they both write such a lashon. The whole thing is a joke. That chumra, a lot of people have that chumra. Well, then Avram says it based on the Taz and Yerideya. So they all people have such a chumra, so they thought that it's a big joke. There's no hemshech in reading Al Pidin from one side of the page to the other. But Taisus doesn't take a stand on that. They just say two different pieces of parchment is not acceptable. Two columns on the same side is acceptable. They don't say what if the two columns are on two sides of the same piece of parchment. Then the Gemara continues to discuss details of the Megillah Sota on the second line. Instead of writing the whole Megillah Sota and then erasing the whole thing, he writes one line and he erases it. He erases the net line. He erases that. You can save a lot of money instead of having 20 lines. So have one little piece of parchment, write one line, erase it. Write the next line and erase that. Keep on writing and erasing. So the Gemara said that's not valid. You have to write the whole thing from the beginning to the end, Kisidron, and then erase the whole thing. It has to be done in order. That's not good. Now the Gemara has a Shaila boy, Rava, what's the din in the following case? He wrote a Megillah Sota for each of two different women. And they erased both of the Megillah Sota into the same cup of water. So can you divide the cup of water in half? Give one Sota to drink half of the water, and the other Sota to drink half of the water. Is that acceptable? Ma, what's the din? Siva l'shma bina v'hoika. each Megillah Sotah was written, this was written for Rachel, this is written for Leah. Hoidilma, maybe I should say, Bina Nami, Mechika Lishma. Over here, he erased both of them, Mochkan Atoch HaKoysech, and he erased both of them together. So that's a Shaila, there's a lack of Mechika Lishma, because when he's erasing both, by dipping them into the water at the same time, it's done for two women, maybe that's not good. Vim Tim Tzilaymar. And if one should assume that it's no good, Bina Nami Mechika Lishma. What's it did in the following case? Mochkan Mishtei Koises. He wrote in Megillah Sotah for Rachel and he erases it in that cup. He wrote in Megillah Sotah for Leah, two different couples, two different women. He erased it in that cup. Then, because of the ear, so the Ksiva was the Shema and the Mechika was the Shema. And then the Chacham mixes the water together. Because of the ear of Anmau, he mixes together the water. Never going to come up in a million years, but the Gemara always likes to discuss abstract cases theoretically. What would it then be if they would do it like that? Because of Irvama, what's it then? Should I say Mechika Lishma Bina Ba'ika? He had Ksiva Lishma, he had Mechika Lishma, so everything is okay. Adil Mohalav Dido Koshasya, this one is not drinking her water, Vaho, and the other woman is Lav Dido Koshasya, she's not drinking her water. You need that it should be Ksiva Lishma, Mechika Lishma, and she should drink that cup of water that was Nimchak for her. Here each one is drinking a half a cup from the other one. Imtim Sulaiman, if you should assume that it's no good, she is not drinking her water, and the other woman is lavdi dokoshas, it's no good. What would it then be? Chaz of Chilkan Mao. He wrote a Megillah Sotah for Rachel and he erased. He wrote a Megillah Sotah for Leah, he erased it in the other cup. Then they mix the two cups together. And then they separate them. So they pour half of the mixture into one cup, half of the mixture in the other cup. So there's no way in the world to assume that the water that was originally in this cup went back into that cup. It was all mixed in together. It's impossible to assume that this is the water from before. The Gemara is Mesupik, maybe it doesn't matter. Should I say Yesh Breira or Yain Breira? So the Gemara says take it. We're not sure what the din is. So here. Oh. So Taisus. Right. So Taisus, the long Taisus points out that this is Taisus writes in the beginning. Hi, this case of Breira, Chaz of Chilkan, that Taisus. So Taisus writes on the first line, hi, this case, La Domi Le Breira, is not the same as the normal case of Breira in the Gemara. Every other case of Breira in the Gemara, let's say a Jew and a non-Jew had a shutfis and a bakery, and they didn't sell a chametz for Pesach. So the Jew was in violation of Bal Yerubai Motzeh. So a chametz shavah la Pesach is also with the Rabbanon, a penalty because he violated Bal Yerubai Motzeh. So let's say, after Pesach, they decide to break up their partnership from now on, and all the cookies, all the challahs, all the bread that they have in the shop, they're dividing in half. So they were 50-50 shutim. Half of the cookies go to the Nochri, half of the cookies go to the Yisrael. So that's a discussion of Breira. It was never Mavura from the very outset. Which cookies belong to the Jew, which cookies belong to the non-Jew? They were shut from 50-50 or 70-30, whatever happens to be. And now, we divide it up. So that's a machlokes in the Gemara. They say, Yesh Breira. They say, Huber Adovel Amafreya, that the 50% of the cookies that the non-Jew got, this is Chomet Shal Nachri Shal over all about Pesach. Then none of the Chomet Shal Yisrael went to the Nachri. None of the Chomet Shal Nachri went to the Jew. Because they never Mavura in the first place. Or the normal case of Breira. Someone buys tevel, wine, from the kusim, al-kechyan beit ha-kusim, and they're not careful about afroshes, trumas, and maizvus, and it's late Friday afternoon, and I want to drink the wine on Shabbos. I have no time now to start pouring out. I have to run to shul. I'm late for davening. I'm going to daven mincha soon. So I'm going to have no time to pour out 2% into one container. This should be truma gedoyla. 10% in another container. That should be maizah rishon. And then the next 9% should be maizah sheni. He has no time. So he makes a hafrosha balpe. He says, "I'm a tzoy Shabbos. I'm going to designate which is truma, which is my serishin, which is my sheni. Hereby declare that those droplets of wine that I'm going to pour into the first container should already become truma now, and those droplets of wine that I'll pour into the second container should already become my serishin. Now, whatever I pour into the third container should already become my sheni now." So that's a shaila breira. It's not mavura now. Which droplets of wine are going to be which? So that's a machlokes ha-tanaim, whether yesh breira ain breira. And the shaila how we paskin la-aloch. Aloch al-maisa we paskin. Like you say, with respect to dinim da-raisa, we paskin ain breira. respect to dinim derabbanan, we pass in yeshber. So for the chametz shabbat la pesach case, Shagazari has that famous tshuva. He would say yeshber. The Jew and the goy had a bakery b'shutfas, and they baked chametz b'pesach. So after Pesach, if they break up their partnership, because man, they don't break up the partnership, so you can't say yesh b'reira. But you're going to say, I'll buy some cookies, and I'll say, yesh b'reira, these cookies belong to the goy all along. Yesh b'reira only works if they made a chalukah after Pesach. If they never made a chalukah, so you can't say yesh b'reira. That's what some achrayim have to say about ribis. There's a bank that's owned the shutfas by Jew and a non-Jew. So some said, you're permitted to borrow b'ribis derabbanon, because he said b'derabbanon, yesh b'reira. I say that the money that I'm borrowing is from the goy shutter. I'm not borrowing the Jew shutter. So the later poskim say that's a joke. What do you mean? Yesh breira with respect to din rabban would mean if they make a chalukah. So mikar al haba, after they make the chalukah, we assume that the money that the goy has was all along his money. But if there's still partners in the bank, or there's still partners in the chametz, you can't say the cookies that I bought were from the goy's cookies. What do you mean? There's still shutfim. At the time that I buy the cookies, there's still shutfim. They only say yesh b'reira if it's never mavura, and now they make a chalukah, they say huver adav al mafre. Over here, it's not at all. Here was mavura at one time. This water was for this site, and that water was for that site. So they were not using the term yesh b'reira, ein b'reira, the way it has the meaning and all over in Shas. It's not the same. It's a different shaila. Originally, the ksiva was l'shmon, and mechika was l'shmon. Fine. Now the question is, does the din really require that each soita has to drink her water? What if the water's got mixed up and separated? Maybe it's good. Maybe it's good. It has nothing to do with this. It's not the same. The expression is the same, but it doesn't have the same connotation as it usually means. Yesh b'reira, ein b'reira. Then they have the shan. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote a very strange opinion. We absolutely don't paskin like this. Shach says we don't paskin like this. Let's say you have an Issa de Rabbanon gets mixed in chad bechad, a piece of flesh that's trefa mid the Rabbanon. There are trefas men at third, there are trefas men the Rabbanon. So let's say you have a piece of meat, basa b'cholof, trefa, whatever, nevela. It's only trefa mid the Rabbanon. It gets mixed in chad bechad with another piece of flesh that's kosher. So there is a hagos oshri on the side of the Rosh. Sometimes they quote the liquid from Mishonim. That's called Hagos Hashvi. So there's Hagos Hashvi that says, you don't know which is kosher, which is treif. It's only the Rabbanon. So close your eyes and pick one arbitrarily. Say, this is the treif one, this is kosher. Yesh b'reira with the Rabbanon. It's the joke. What do you mean, yesh b'reira with the Rabbanon? It's taruv is chad b'chad. You can't say sveika the Rabbanon l'kula. It's ikva yisur. I know for sure that one of them is treif. Sveika the Rabbanon l'kula means, I don't know if it's kosher or treif. But if I know bevadois, that one of two is treif. If there are three pieces and one is treif, so it's chad betreif's bottle. If you have two pieces, there's no bitl beroiv, chad bechad, so that's called ikva yisura. So you can't just pick arbitrarily one and say sveka derabon lekula. Ikva yisura, you don't say sveka derabon lekula. And you can't say yesh b'reira b'derabon. It was once mevura. We once knew which was the treif for one. So the whole topic of b'reira doesn't apply there. One of the Rishonim wrote like that, based on this Gemara. The Gemara calls this Breira, the such a Gemara, and Yuma also. Tosfos quotes the such a Gemara, and Yuma also. The Gemara talks about such a thing about Breira. Yuma Dafnun Hey, Tosfos quotes. Ashver Rishita, we don't hold like that. Breira doesn't apply in this case. It's a different suffix whether this is good or not. Then the Gemara has a suffix regarding the Hashkor. What about the drinking? The Gemara has a suffix. What if she drinks through a straw? She's so used to drinking through a straw, she wants to drink the Maim Amarim through a straw. So the Gemara says that's a suffix. Or boy, Rava Hishka b'siv mahu b'shvaferes mahu derech shtiy b'kach ain derech shtiy b'kach take. It's a suffix. Shvaferes means she drinks through a straw. What does it mean siv? So Rashi writes kederech shatinoi keshoisin. I'm not sure what Rashi what it corresponds to. Apparently they used to have a spongy material that they would the little children don't want to drink like this. So they would dip some spongy material into the milk or whatever it is, into the orange juice, whatever they're supposed to be drinking, and then they would suck it in their mouth and suck out all of the juice or all of the milk that was absorbed in this thing. So a normal person drinks like this. You have a liquid, you drink like this. If you put this sieve in that absorbs everything, and then you chew it in your mouth and you suck everything out, so that's the suffix. Is that called derech shtiyah or not? So the Gemara says, take. So that was in Europe. Apparently, when you read the tshuvas, The normal people never drank anything through a straw. Only when they went to the mineral, when they went to the
spa
where they had mineral water. So they used to drink the mineral water through a straw. So they had a shaila, is that derech shtiyah b'kacha? Not. So there's a suffix where they say a bracha. If it's not derech shtiyah, they assume you don't say a bracha. So therefore they recommend that you should first say shahako, drink a little bit straight, and then drink the rest through the straw. I thought the whole thing was a joke. The Rabbonim in America, they told me in Baltimore, yeah, Rabbi Ruderman used to say like that. When you want to drink with a straw, first you have to drink a little bit directly, and then you use the straw for the rest. That's what the Rabbonim in Europe wrote. I thought the whole thing was a mistake. If you're drinking wine, and the bracha should have been Bori Pri Hagafen, whatever has a fancy bracha, Bori Pri Adama, Bori Minim Zanis, whatever has a fancy bracha, and you're eating in Shalok HaDerech Achilu, you're eating in Shalok HaDerech Shliya, abnormal, then the bracha is always knocked down to Shahakal. But less than a Shahakal is never going to become. So if you're drinking mineral water, it's not going to be more than Shahakal in the first place. So even if you say that it's not Derech Shliya Bekach, how, you can't go lower than Shahakal. A bracha you have to say anyway. So I didn't think that that was correct, that Chumah was correct. If you're going to drink wine, you're going to say Kiddush, say Bar Pi Agofen, drink the wine through a straw, then maybe there's a shaila. If it's not derech shtiyah bekach, maybe it doesn't deserve to have bar pi agofen. Everything should be knocked down to shahakal.
Is it something like a filter? It puts it over the cup and drinks through it?
A filter.
I mean, you have a sieve, but not so, korcha b'siv.
Tosis quotes about korcha b'siv. Yeah. Korcha b'siv, he eats the matzah that's wrapped up in a sieve. So the sieve is not royal achila. And when he eats matzah amora wrapped up in a sieve, since the sieve is not edible, so it's not called achila on the stuff inside. Let's say you have trefa, let's say you have a little liver pill. So the pill itself, let's say it's plastic. Let's say, for argument's sake, it's plastic, not royal achila. And the stuff inside is edible, and it's mamish chazashmalz. Mamish chazashmalz. That would be a discussion. That would not derech achila. That's not called achila. Since I'm swallowing food, and the food is wrapped up in a wrapper, wrapped with the paper, wrapped with a plastic or something, so that's korcha b'siv. It's not called achila. But he says over here, he's not swallowing the sieve. He's just sucking out from the sieve all the liquid that's absorbed in it. Something like that. Something like that.
But so, as far as it's true, wouldn't that be like a minute? What's the minute of Mokum at the time?
Should like, depend.
On that rather than
yeah, the whole thing is Shver. Who says that this suffix in the Gemara applies to brachas? Maybe this only a suffix in fulfilling the mitzvah of Seder Asiyas. Asoita, Ashkos, Asoita is a mitzvah in the Torah. So there you say, Lav derech shtiyah bekach. But if the minigolem is that everybody drinks like that, so why shouldn't it even say Bar Pia? But you should say Bar Pia Gofen also. If it becomes common to drink wine through a straw, so why shouldn't you even say Bar Pi Hagafen? Could be that the suffix is only on Saita, doesn't apply to Bichas Hanen and Bichlal. But this Gemara became famous because of the mineral water in the spas. Okay, maybe we'll stop here. The Torah requires when a person is put to death by the Bezdin, sometimes he needs tliya. Then the Torah requires kovetik bread, you have to bury the person. So the original mitzvah of Kvura only says by Haruge Bezdin. The Gemara has a machloike satanoim, that's how the Lecha Mishnah interprets the Gemara. Gemara Sanhedrin has a machloike satanoim, one brisa back to back, right next to the other brisa. Two brises say exactly the same. The difference seems to be whether by Shar Mesem a person dies a natural death, he wasn't put to death by the Bezin, whether the mitzvah kvura by a normal person who dies a natural death is that chi of kvura men atoira midirabon. So we paskin that kvura is always men atoira, and there is, seems to be an opinion in the Tanaim that it's only remez l'kvura men atoira. The real kvura the rice is only by harugi Bezin. And Kfura by Shah Mesim is only the Rabban. So the Gemara says, why not learn out from Parshas Chayi Sora? The Rav Ramavina buries Sora. So the Torah records it. for a reason. Isn't it recorded to teach us that that's what we're supposed to follow? When a person dies a natural death, there's a mitzvah kvura. So the Gemara says, not necessarily one can say that there is a principle of kavod ames, kavod abrius. Man is created b'tzelem elokim. So not only while the person is alive is there a din of kavod abrius, even after he dies, there's also a din of kavod abrius, even after he dies. A lot of people only observe kavod abrius after he's dead. Because man is alive, we don't treat him with dignity. The halacha says the reverse, the kavod abrius while the person is alive is more chomer than after he dies. Remember, I once attended a funeral. A doctor, a medical doctor from my neighborhood, passed away. And then all of the doctors from the hospital had bid respect for him. So a lot of the doctors who came were non-Jewish, and some of them were Jewish and non-observant. And the fellow who died was a Lubavitcher. So one of the Lubavitcher rabbis that was there insisted I should say some words of hesped to give chizuk and emunah. So I sized up the audience. I mentioned that a lot of people think that the Jewish religion emphasizes so much death. We place so much emphasis. They say Kaddish and Yisker and Yortzeit and so much by many people that's in Avel or Shiva. By many people, that's the whole Yiddishkeit. They don't keep anything else. And the doctors are always dealing with living, and the Jewish people are always dealing with the dead. So it's not so. By us, there's a din of Kavod Abrius, Kavod Achayim. Takes precedence over Kavod Ames. The Halacha says like that. We learn out from the Pasuk. It says the Kohen is obligated to be metami to the seven relatives. That's a chayv lo yitama. There's even a chiyuv kavod abrius after the person dies. Kavod chayim is a bigger chiyuv kavod abrius while the person is alive. So the Gemara says kavod abrius. You cannot really derive from this parsha that there is a chiyuv kvura by mesim. Maybe that was the minig in the days of Avraham Avinu, and whatever is the minig is required. Whatever is the minig is required midin kavod abrius. How do you know that it's a real chiyuv kvura l'doris, even if the minig becomes that you burn the body? Maybe if the minig becomes that you cremate the body, then it's a mitzvah to cremate the body. Whatever the minig is, kavod abrius requires you should be following the minig. Mora says, no, we learn out from the other pasuk. Kavodik b'ren, who's a kevel loshen, not only by the harugi bezin, even by the shar mesim as well. That's why we have different minhagim. The minhagim come and go. Different generations have different minhagim. Chevek Kadisha washes the body. Some communities that have a minig to be toivel the body in a mikveh doesn't help for anything. The body is avi avoy satume. Doesn't help if you toivel in a mikveh. The minig out of respect or to pour teshikabin on the body. All of this is minhagim. Later minhagim. It's not min din. The Chachma Sodom writes all of the minhagim that the Chevek Kadisha have are all minhagim. And calls man that the minhagim are still binding. So you have to observe them. In Europe, they used to have minhagim to wash egg yolks into the head. And today, they don't do that anymore. But today, people take showers much more often than they did years ago. So years ago, they used to sort of like shampoo. That's it. And today, they use real shampoo. They wash off the body and they clean off the body. But it's interesting. They volunteered, the Bnei Ches volunteered to Avraham Avinu, b'mivcha k'vareinu k'vores meisecho, he should bury his wife in the most b'kavadik spot, because they considered him nesilikim atov b'sacheno. So they're going to give him the more they had. They also were makbid on kavod abrius. The people were b'tzelem alakim, so they were medak, they can kavod abrius. They offered him, they're going to give him the most b'kavadik spot. So he insists that he's not allowed to. This we do learn out from the parsha. You're not allowed to bury Jews next to non-Jews. You have to have a separate kever Yisroel and a separate Mokim Kvura for the Mason. Because the Jews are different from the Nochrim, not only during their lifetime. They live differently, they die differently, and they're buried differently. And we're makbid about that. True, everybody was created with Tzelem Elokim, but Bnei Yisrael were created as Bottom La Mokim, which is a high Madrega of Tzelem Elokim. So if you're going to bury a Nochri next to a Yisrael, that'll be a violation of the Kavod Abrius that the Yisrael deserves. He deserves a higher level of Kavod Abrius. So that talk is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. If you have Mesim Nochrim buried, there's a cemetery for Nochrim, a cemetery for Jews. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, you have to have Archoka, a minimum of eight Amis in between. Because each Mes has Tfusas HaKever, Dalar Amis around it, and we don't even permit interlocking Tfusas HaKever. So you have to have a full Archoka of eight Amis in between. So the Mesim Nochrim have their Dalar Amis, Meisim Yisrael Mhabdei Adaran. We're makbid about that. The Jews should realize that even though we share a lot in common with the Yom HaSa'ilam, we're all B'Tzalim Malkin, but the Jews still, everything is different by us. We live differently, we die differently, we're buried differently. That's why the Allah requires you have to have a separate Beis HaKvaris. Okay. Let me just.
What about the difference between
the Gemara says, "Ain't kov inside the gates of Russia," based on other psukim. You're not supposed to bury tzaddik next to a Russia. Most Achranim say no, because they're buried under the ground. The fence is only good for on top of the ground. Since they put a fence in the ground, is lamal of lamer. In case I do go to Eretz Yisrael tomorrow, so I won't be able to give a shiur next week. Okay, if I don't go, then I'll save it for next time. Okay.
No, please.